Good morning. Grace and peace to you in the name of our risen Lord Jesus Christ, and welcome to Weston United Methodist Church. My name is Will McLean, and I have the true privilege and honor to serve as the pastor of spiritual formation with our team here. And if you are visiting with us on this cold, rainy January day, I want to just tell you that watching you all move around the sanctuary and greet one another with love and laughter warmed my heart. And I hope that if you're a visitor here today, that you feel that warmth that is so alive in this congregation. If you are visiting with us, or even if you're a regular member, we would love for you to mark your attendance and to fill out that pew pad or to register your attendance, especially for those who are worshiping with us online. I do want to let you all know of a number of ways that you can get involved and invested in the life of our community. If you are a local Nashville University student, we would love for you to join us after the 11 a.m. worship service for Chat and Chew with Pastor Amy Baxter. You'll get to see Pastor Amy lead in our worship service this morning. Also want to invite you later this afternoon at 4:30 here in the sanctuary. We are blessed to have Amanda Mole leading us in an organ recital, and we're grateful for the way that she will tune our hearts to worship God through the beauty that she will share with us. Want to let you know that next week during the Sunday school hour, if you have been regularly visiting this community and you feel God stirring you to inquire about what membership would look like, we have a one-day membership class. It will be held in the Fourth Story Theater, and we're grateful that this opportunity will create a space for those who are inquiring about membership to learn about what it means to be an active participant in the life of West End. You can contact Shannon Baxter, one of our pastors, if you have questions, or you can register online. And finally, I want to invite you next Sunday at 4 o'clock to come back in the afternoon and to experience a conversation with Mainstream UMC. Mainstream UMC is a community that is helping educate us that we might understand what is actually really at stake with the general conference that will be held in Charlotte in May. This is the first time that the United Methodist Church has met globally since February 2019. This meeting was supposed to happen in 2020, but like so many things, it was punted 4 years later to 2024. So we invite you to come next week to hear from a panel discussion about the issues that will be at stake at General Conference this May and how we as a church might respond to God's action to be a means of healing liberation in that movement. Friends, this morning, might our hearts be stirred in worship to love and serve God and to love and serve our neighbors.
Please join me in the call to worship found in your bulletin. The time has come. The kingdom of God is near. O God, today may we heed those words and offer ourselves to you. As we worship, may we be empowered to live and speak your words. Come and follow. Trusting that God's love for us is unconditional and God's mercy is everlasting, let us make our confession with the confidence of children of God. Creator God, you have designed us in this world to be beacons of the love you shine on us daily. With an eye toward revealing a never-ending grace, you have made all things. Yet, forget who we are and focus on our wants before the needs of those with whom you have surrounded us. Forgive us when we forget to be wayfinders of your grace for others. Change our hearts today, the power of your Holy Spirit, so that our lives will be conduits of your grace, a grace that calls to us to come and follow. And now, O God, we offer you our individual confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you. One of the great joys of the church is the baptism of children. This morning, Aaron and Caroline Dale bring their son before God and before the community of faith for baptism.
Family in Christ, through the holy sacrament of Christian baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We're incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation, and we are given new birth through water and the Spirit. And all of this is God's gift, which is offered to us without price. Aaron and Caroline, I ask you these ancient questions of our faith. On behalf of the whole church, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, say we do. Do you accept the freedom and the power that God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, say we do. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in his grace, and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? If so, say we do.
We do.
Great. And I ask you, Aaron and Caroline, will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and your example and your home and your witness in the world, he may be guided to accept God's grace for himself, to profess his faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? If so, say we will.
We will.
Great. Congregation, do you as Christ's church reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, please say we do.
We do.
And will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include this child before you now in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround this child with a community of love and forgiveness, that he may grow in service with others. We will pray for him to be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life.
Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the waters of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and this child who receives it, to wash away sin and clothe him in righteousness throughout his life, that dying and being raised with Christ may share in Christ's final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever.
Caroline and Aaron, what name shall be given to this child?
Walker Harris.
Walker Harris. Walker Harris, I'm going to take you from your mama for a second. Walker Harris, I baptize you in the name of God, the Creator, Jesus Christ, your Savior and healer, and the Holy Spirit, your sustainer and advocate all the days of your life. Amen. Amen. I invite your family and your brother and your sister and Pastor Carol, if y'all want to lay hands on Walker Harris. We're going to pray for God to be at work in his life. Walker Harris, may the Holy Spirit be at work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all the days of your beautiful life. Amen. Sweet boy. Okay, Walker Harris, I'm going to take you out for a walk in the congregation. So if y'all don't mind, I'm just going to scoot right through. Thank you so much. I want you to see your family in Christ, and I want them to see you, because these are the folks, this is your family, that they're going to teach you how to walk in the way of life. They are going to be your Sunday school teachers. Who knows, you might play for the Thunder Chickens someday. You might be a basketball player, and so they'll be your coaches, and they'll be your friends and your advocates, and they will teach you what it means to follow Jesus. And here's what's really, really cool. You're going to teach them what it means to follow Jesus too. You're going to ask really hard questions in confirmation class that maybe we never thought to ask ourselves. You're going to lead us to love people that we never would have known without your grace and love. And together, God is going to form us into the people of God.
This time I invite the congregation to please rise in body or spirit. Refer to your bulletin for the commendation and welcome. And face Walker Harris. It is our joy to welcome our new brother in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Walker Harris to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase his faith, confirm his hope, and perfect him in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given to you, Walker Harris, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
On this Sunday before the Lions have one of their biggest games ever, please join me in the prayer for illumination found in your bulletin. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Gospel, Mark chapter 1, verses 21 through 28. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, he entered the synagogue and taught. They were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Just then, there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, throwing him into convulsions and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed, and they kept on asking one another, "What is this, a new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." At once, his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Rob. I'm going to invite all of our kiddos, if you would like to come forward and be with me and our Pastor Carol and Pastor Amy for a children's moment. Yeah, come on up. Come and sit with us. Hey, Dax, you want to come sit by me? Awesome. Like your shoes. Great. Okay, y'all, I know that for some of you, this might have been a long time ago, like way back to August, but maybe you switched schools this year here in January, so it's fresh. But can you remember your first day of class? Remember your first day of class?
Yes.
Do you remember some of the stuff that you do on your first day of class? What are some of the things that you do on your first day of class? You play? You make new friends? Is that right? Oftentimes the teacher will show you around the classroom. Is that right? And show you the different things that you're going to do throughout the day. There's typically a schedule that you look at and you see what you're going to do. Does this freshen your memory of what you do on your first day of class? For adults, maybe your first day of work too? Yeah, Isla.
I had a half school day.
Yeah, like oftentimes it's so much that you get a half day. And is there any better sleep than that first night after school, right? I am typically so tired and I just sleep so well because the night before I'm kind of nervous. So today in the scripture hearing, the scripture that we just heard, this is essentially the disciples' first day of class with Jesus. They've just begun to follow him, and they're seeing what he is all about. And in this moment, just like your teacher on your first day of class would tell you what you're going to do throughout the course of the year, Jesus shows his disciples what he is all about, and he's about healing and liberation. And the most amazing thing that I want you all to hear today is that Jesus doesn't only do that action and we watch, but Jesus trusts and he empowers you to be a healer and to bring about freedom for your friends. So maybe that looks like if you have a friend who's really sad, you're just there with them and you're present with them and you hold space with them. Or maybe if you're on a team and folks are struggling to share, you're the person that really shares. Or, you know, when we have things like Great Day of Service, that's a great opportunity for you to be a healer in our city and to be an active participant in what God is doing, because it doesn't matter how young you are. You might not have even gone to kindergarten. Jesus is already empowering you and giving you the gifts that you need to be a healer in our world. So pay attention in class when Jesus shows up, okay? great. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, we are so grateful that your son Jesus teaches with great power, but also with great simplicity, so that we can really only understand him if we become like children. We pray that, God, you would bless these children in their lives, that they might grow in love of you and love of neighbor. Amen. I'm going to invite our 3, 4, and 5-year-olds, if you want to go with Pastor Amy and Pastor Maggie and enjoy Children's Church. I'll have fun. Great. For those of us who are still here, we get to dive into some light reading from Mark's Gospel, and I invite you to pray with me. Good and gracious God, we give you great thanks that your word is fresh and new. And so I pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, I might preach with Christ, and that you might open up all of our lives to receive this new freedom that you give us in him. All of this we ask in his name. Amen. So if you are a new student or you're a new employee, regardless of where you are in life, it's a typical experience that you have that on your first day of work or first day of class, you typically experience the same sorts of things. I remember when I was in college, we called it syllabus day because the professor typically would just go through the syllabus line item by line item to describe what the course would look like or what the expectations might be. If it's your first day of work, it looks a little bit different. You are often with an HR representative who walks you through your job description, who tells you how to do payroll, who tells you the expectations of what your work is going to be. So regardless of whether we call it onboarding or orientation or syllabus day, that same experience is one where we are sort of taking it all in, and if we're honest, sometimes we're scanning the room or scanning the job, and we're wondering, is this really what I want to do for this season of my life? Do I really, if you're in a class, do I really want to subject my life to a semester with these people studying this stuff? Am I the only one that's ever felt that way? Okay, good. We're having some nods. We know what this is like. Friends, this is the moment in the disciples' life where Jesus is onboarding them to the mission of God. And if we're to read the Gospels as a field guide to leading and living God's mission, this is our onboarding too. We heard last week Pastor Carol preaching how there's this immediacy in the call of God that Jesus calls the first 4 disciples or students into mission with him. And especially we hear in Mark's Gospel that Peter and James and Andrew and John left with such immediacy when Jesus called them that James and John left their dad in the boat with the hired hands. I can't read this story without imagining that scene in Forrest Gump where Forrest Gump jumps out of the shrimp boat and it just crashes into the docks if you've ever seen that movie. So Mark wants us to know that's the immediacy with which these disciples are responding to the call of God when Jesus says, come follow me. And this moment that we witness in the Capernaum synagogue, this is the disciples' first day of class. And it's not happening in a lecture hall or it's not happening in the HR training room. It's happening in their hometown synagogue with the religious teachers and members of their community who help raise them in the faith. And it's frankly happening in the presence of a man who is so unwell that if they're honest, I would imagine the disciples would say that up to that point, they used everything in their power to avoid people like him. On this first day of class, both for the disciples and for us, Jesus lays out the syllabus for his course of healing, liberation. And in those first days, and maybe even today, you get that sense of wonder. You get that sense of awe and amazement. You get that sense of curiosity of really naming, what is this all about? And how do I see myself in a story that's about a man who was possessed by unclean spirits being healed and liberated and made well? Mark's gospel tells us that awe and amazement was the response of the crowds when they saw Jesus heal the man. And in particular, they are awed and amazed with Jesus' authority. That word authority, I'm sure, conjures up all sorts of feels in this congregation. I know it conjures them up in me. Maybe you're the type of person that you're drawn to authority. You like the clarity it provides. You want someone to set the vision and direct the course and name what's inbounds and out of bounds. Maybe you're just the opposite. You like to wander into your own way, and any external force telling you, no, you can't do that, is not a gift. And I would imagine we have folks in our community here today who have experienced harm from the hands of authority. Someone who denied your rights or diminished your identity, boundaries that excluded you. But wherever we are on the spectrum of our relationship with authority, it's important to recognize that in this moment, poll after poll continues to reveal that our American culture is in a place right now where we really question what authority we can trust. Can we trust government or large institutions? Can we trust supposed experts in their field? And if we're honest, after the years of abuse and maybe our own personal experience of trauma in the church, can we trust the authority of the church? Joel Marcus is a New Testament scholar who's now retired, and he defines this word authority as the ability to act in such a way that there is nothing to hinder your action. The ability to act in such a way that there is nothing to hinder your action. As in, Jesus' teaching and authority is unhindered by the powers and principalities of the time or the expectations of the moment. We'll really see this as we follow Jesus in Holy Week as he goes into Jerusalem. He is speaking truth to the power, and especially to the power of the Empire of Rome. His teaching is unhindered. Jesus' healing is unhindered, even as this story of a man possessed by unclean spirits seems so far-fetched. Mark wants us to know that Jesus' authority is unhindered by even the most far-fetched of evils. Joel Marcus even remarks that this word authority was so often used in the context of its time as a word of anticipation for when God, in the end of all days, would come with decisive action to bring healing and justice and peace over all of the earth. Which is really a gift to imagine that word authority in this way. Because one of the helpful things it does for us is it liberates us from this reading of Scripture that has done great harm in the church, and especially in our relationship with our Jewish brothers and sisters, where it's Jesus is offering a new teaching, and those who follow the Jewish way of life are following an old or lesser teaching. Redefining authority in this way allows us to see that in this moment, Jesus is acting in a way that the Jewish people of God long anticipated, that with that decisive authority, he is bringing about healing and liberation. That in this moment, the congregation is being swept up into the story of a God, the God of Exodus, the God who hears the cries of God's people, the God who heals our hurts, and the God who liberates us in love. And so, of course, the congregation is excited that this newness of God's teaching in Jesus is in their very midst, because it means that the prophet's promise is finally being realized, prophets like Isaiah. And for those folks who heard Jesus' teaching and witnessed him healing in Capernaum, and for those of us here in Nashville today, there's this great gift in proclaiming that Jesus' authority is the ultimate source of our trust. Because Jesus' authority, we're going to see this again and again across the Gospel of Mark, Jesus is always using his authority to empower, not overpower. Jesus is always using his authority to break down barriers and not build them up. Jesus is always using his authority to liberate and not to dominate. In fact, the thing that Jesus makes most clear on this onboarding day is that he will use his authority to tear down any barrier so that nothing shall separate us from the love of God. And we'll see this across the course of his ministry as he connects unclean with clean, sinner with righteous, those on the inside and those on the outside around the table of fellowship, that Jesus will use his authority to break down any dividing wall between us so that nothing should separate us from loving each other. And really the greatest wonder of it all, we could stop there and say, amen, that's great news. But really the wonder of it all is that Jesus' authority is not something that he hoards to himself. He freely shares it with us in his Spirit. Later in Mark's gospel, he'll send out his disciples to go and heal in the region of Galilee. We'll hear in other gospels that at the end of his ministry, before he is ascended into heaven after the resurrection, he'll send his disciples to the ends of the earth to be agents of healing in all places, in every nook and cranny of creation. And in our baptisms, we celebrate that God is empowering us to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves, that God is trusting us with the authority to be healers and to bring about liberation in our lives and in all of creation. And yet, I have found, and maybe you have found this too, that it is much easier, much simpler, to deny the authority Christ is giving us. To either blame those who have supposed authority. I can remember, I'm going to date myself here, but one of my favorite songs in high school was John Mayer's Waiting on the World to Change. Anybody remember that song? Waiting till the systems include me, or waiting till the systems align how I want them to align before I'm actually participating in healing and renewal and liberation. And so we can blame those who we say have authority. Or I would say even sadder is that there's this power of shame that leads us to feel like we can't ever change, that we can't ever be different, that our situation will always be the same. And I appreciate how Lutheran pastor Nadia Bolz-Weber, she shares from her own experience of really struggling with addiction over the course of her life, and in particular for a season of her life living under the dominion of depression. And she reads this passage of scripture and she connects the power of baptism with actually the power of exorcism. And she says that baptism is as powerful as exorcism, which means that you, dear children of God who are baptized, you are clothed in the name of the one who demons fear. So claim that power, claim that authority, claim that authority within your own personal life. That language of demons and exorcisms, that's pretty extreme. I've not yet been called into that practice of ministry yet. And yet, I think we can all recognize moments in our life when it felt like we were living under the dominion of a power that was leading us to harm, to harming ourselves, to harming others, to not see the light of day. That power may be of addiction that you just can't shake, or the power of living in an oppressive relationship that is built on domination or abuse, or the power of living in such financial debt that you have no imagination for a better life, the power really of greed, which leads you to feel like you have to push harder to get more and that nothing will stand in your way, including people. And I want us to hear today that wherever you are in your life, you might feel like as if you have no power, no agency, that the waters of our baptism are like an ever-present spring of agency and life and renewal. And that even if you're not baptized, God is always at work. It was in the hymn that we sang to open worship. God is at work in all of creation, empowering and liberating creation to live into God's hopes, the kingdom of God. And so that maybe claiming the power and authority God is giving you in Jesus is taking that first step towards sobriety and asking for help with a 12-step group. Or maybe it looks like having the humility to gather a community together to say, hey, would you help me by sharing some resources with me in this season when I'm in such great debt? Or maybe teaching me some practices or imagining with me what a better life could look like. And beyond our own personal lives or our communal life, how might we claim that authority to heal and liberate within our very city? From the very earliest of days in the church, even though Christians were often the most disempowered people within certain communities, they lived lives of empowerment because they believed that this authority Jesus gave them was real. And so Christians were the ones in their communities to start the first hospitals and to create the first networks of financial relief for the poor, to form the first communities and homes that cared for orphans. Christians, even when the government said, you have no power, lived an empowered existence and witness in the world. So might we do the same, y'all. In the face of so many health and wealth and housing gaps in our city, might we live as an empowered people and partner with the folks who are already doing great work. Might we commit to living lives of mercy and justice and actually advocate and really call those who do have authority by the law to change the laws. Right? We live as a people who dream with our community about what it would look like for all people to flourish in this place. For it's important for us to name and to know today that Jesus does not provide for us an ordinary onboarding to our work. Jesus calls us and he leads us right into the heart of God's decisive action. For truly, Jesus is trusting and he's empowering us with the authority to heal the hell out of creation until all of heaven breaks loose. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.
Having heard the word of God read and proclaimed in our midst, calling us to claim our authority as followers of Christ, I invite you to stand as you're able and let us together profess our faith in this one who calls us. Our affirmation of faith is printed in your bulletin. Will you join your voices with mine? We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. We continue our response to the Word of God, the invitation to participate in God's healing work as we come to this time of prayer. Our prayers are part of the healing work that God does in our world, and we share those prayers together as a body of Christ. I would invite you, if you're present in the sanctuary and you have a prayer concern or joy that you'd like to share, to use the gray prayer cards in the pew racks in front of you. Fill those out and place them in the offering plates as they go by, and let us know if you'd like that prayer concern shared or kept confidential. Your pastoral staff meets every Monday at 1:30 and prays by name over each one of these concerns. If you're worshiping with us online, you can go to our website under Contact Us and let us know your prayer concerns that way. And all of us can do that at any time throughout the week. Please take note of the prayer requests that are listed in your bulletin and be sure and pray for those friends by name throughout the week so that we can be a praying congregation together. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Gracious God, as your Son Jesus walked in our midst, he became known as a healer, the one we call the great physician. Today we experience the healing ministry of Jesus in our scriptures and in our lives. And so we bring before you as we gather our prayers for healing. We pray for all who are sick in body, mind, and spirit. We consider all those who are in the hospitals that surround us in our place in the city. May they know your presence and healing power. We pray for those going through chemotherapy and long-term treatments, that they would have your peace and good rest. We pray for those preparing for surgery or recovering from surgery, that you might remove any anxieties and guide the doctors and nurses and all who care for them. We pray for those who deal with chronic pain, that they would know your strength and persevering presence, especially when the days feel long and difficult. We pray for healing of the mind for all who struggle with anxiety, depression, and other mental illness, for those who feel alone and unworthy of love, for those walking through the pain of broken relationships. And God, we pray for the healing of our world, for those places where war and violence cause people to live in fear. We pray for those who suffer injustice and discrimination in their everyday lives. And God, we pray for the healing of this planet that has been torn and abused in so many ways. May your healing work be allowed to bring wholeness once again to the animals and plants and the earth that remind us every day of your beauty. Oh God, we thank you for the healers in our midst, the nurses and doctors, technicians, therapists, counselors, caregivers, for those who create space for others to be who they are and to feel seen and loved and healed. And oh God, we ask that you would use us in whatever vocations we pursue, in whatever our daily lives are made of, that you would work through us to bring about all the healing that is possible in our daily lives, in our city, and in our world. We pray all of these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. One of the very concrete ways we get to participate in the work that God is doing in our lives and in our community is through our giving. And so now we have an opportunity to offer and gather our gifts to God in gratitude and praise. Those of you joining online can give through the options on the screen. And while we are here in the sanctuary, our ushers will come by and pass the plates in our midst. May we give with glad and generous hearts to the God who loves us unconditionally and heals us every day. invite everyone to be seated for just a moment, unless you are one of our leaders for this year. I want to invite all of the folks who are serving on any of our committees to please stand where you are, whether that's trustees and staff parish or hospitality committee, children's council, youth council, the officers of the ministry table, annual conference delegates, and so forth. Friends, these are our leaders for 2024. Many of them were able to gather yesterday for our leadership retreat, where we spent time in prayer and fellowship and looking ahead to the year that's in front of us. We are so blessed to be in a congregation with the gifts and the resources and the vocations that God has placed on our hearts, and to have these friends who have stepped up to say, yes, here I am, I will serve. So I want us to take a moment together and pray for them today in this time of worship. I will send out in my Monday meditation tomorrow a list of all of these folks so that you can continue to pray for them throughout the year, that God's Spirit will guide them and give them discernment. And they are here for you, so as you see who they are, be sure and reach out to them if there's anything that you have an idea about or want to share. They're here for you and to lead all of us together. So let us pray to consecrate this year to these leaders. Gracious God, all that we are and all that we do is for the sake of you and your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. In this season of Epiphany, we have heard Jesus say, "Follow me," and we all commit ourselves to follow you with fresh commitment. And in this moment, we take this time to pray for these particular friends who have said yes to following you in a particular way for the sake of your church, for the sake of West End United Methodist Church's mission in the world. We ask your blessing to be upon each one, to give them courage and vision and wisdom, to give them listening ears and hearts that are open to your Spirit. And through your Spirit, may these leaders lead us into a year of fresh, new, bold ministry, so that your loving light might shine in this community and beyond, brighter than ever. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. And now let us all stand alongside these particular leaders and sing the hymn and recommit ourselves once again. Here I am, Lord.
Thank you.
We go forth into our wounded and weary world this day, accepting the authority Jesus gives us to be healers and liberators in creation, that truly all of the earth might know the good news of the Lord we know in Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are sent. Amen. Thank you.